Now, as we prepare for our reading from God's Word, let's pray together our prayer for illumination by turning into bulletin or up on the screen. Let us pray together.
Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen.
Good morning.
Scripture is from Matthew 1, verse
18 to 25 on the screen or in your Bible on page 1497. The birth of Jesus Christ. So exciting. We've been waiting 4 weeks, longer than that. Jesus is going to be born tomorrow. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not have union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
I think that's everybody. No more stage rushers, right? First off, I love everybody's outfits today, all the holiday festivities. Look at this great reindeer you have going on here. Is that supposed to be Rudolph? Oh, and it changes colors. How about that? I don't know if everybody can see that. That's pretty cool. All right, so I have a question here. I wrote down two words today. This is not an English word. It has meaning in English, but what is it? M-A-S, what is that? Mas, right. So mas is a Spanish word. You know what it means in English, mas? It means more. So you'll hear people say in Spanish, yo quiero más, they're saying I want more of, right? So a very common expression is yo quiero más dinero, which is I want more money. And that's popular both in English and Spanish, right? Now on the flip side, what word did I write? Christmas, right. Now interesting thing about Christmas, what do you see? What's at the end of Christmas? What word do we see? We see más, and what do you see if you cover up más? Christ. More of Christ, right? We need more of Christ. We need more of Christ in our lives and society. And Christmas is a perfect time of year to stop and think about that. And we talk a lot about presents, right? And people say, I want more of this, more of that. But we don't hear enough people saying, I want more of Jesus, right? I want more of Christ. And there's bumper stickers. You've seen a lot of cars this time of year. It says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Have you seen that? Jesus is the reason for the season, right? So as we get ready for Tuesday, which is the big day, right? Jesus' birthday. It's important to keep Christ and Christmas, as people say, right? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this wonderful time of year, the Advent season, a time to reflect and spend time with our family and our friends, and most importantly, to be reminded of what the holiday is about, the birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. things mean something, don't they?
Yeah.
Second, I promise. Names mean something. Do you know what your name means? Yeah? Some of you do. Some of you do. When it comes time to name a child, sometimes, you know, you go off to one of these books, you look at the most popular names. There's a top 10 list. And it's interesting to look at how names change over the years. You know, the year that I was born, Christopher was a very popular name. It doesn't even crack the top 10 these days. Names like Braden and Graydon and Aiden are all in the top 10, and no one had ever heard of those names when I was born. But names mean things often. My name, Christopher, comes actually from the Greek, Christos, Christ, and Apheros, bearer. So Christopher is the bearer of Christ. What does your name mean? Anybody know? Anybody want to share? Friend of God, Michael, friend of God. Anyone else? Grace. Grace. Very good, yeah. Names mean things. And no less in our passage today. Two names. The first one, Jesus, right? Joseph is to give this baby the name Jesus. And why? Because he will save his people from their sins. I don't think that's working. He will save his people from their sins. It's actually from the root of the same word as Joshua. So if you were to look at it in Greek, it's not Jesus, it's Yeshua, actually, which we say as Jesus, but it can also be translated Joshua. There's another name in there, Emmanuel, which means God is with us, or God with us. And that's an interesting name. In the 8th century, the people of Israel were being fought very hard by conquering armies. And there was a prophecy that raised up at that time. The prophecy was, there is a woman who is pregnant, a young woman, and she is going to give birth, and they're going to name the child Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And before that child is old enough to feed himself, the armies of God will have prevailed. And that's exactly what happened. In that time, there's a baby named Emmanuel, and before Emmanuel is able to feed himself, the armies of God have conquered. And the people are safe, at least for the time. And the child is a reminder to the people that God is with them. One of the things we're going to learn about Jesus in Matthew's gospel is that he is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In nearly every reading between now and Easter, Matthew is going to tell us this was done so that this prophecy would be fulfilled. What's most important about that for us today, friends, is that the prophecy is fulfilled often by ordinary people. Let's take Joseph, for instance. We're told pretty early on in this reading that Joseph is a descendant of David, King David, the king, the man after God's own heart, the one who is the greatest king that Israel had ever known. And Joseph is a descendant of him. You would think that makes Joseph someone special. Except that David had lived like 1,000 years before that. And imagine to yourself, how many descendants will you have in 1,000 years if Christ doesn't return before then? If you have 2.2 children, as was the average a while back, to be the 0.2, that's something sad. But then each one of them has 2.2, and on and on and on over the course of 1,000 years, that's a lot of descendants. And David didn't just have 2.2, he had a bunch. And Solomon? Well, gee, with like 1,000 women hanging around the palace, you can imagine how many children there were running around there. And over and over and over again. Everyone's a descendant of David. Everyone in the whole land is a descendant of David. It could be anyone. So what makes Joseph so special? I think Joseph is an interesting person. He's pledged to be married to this girl, Mary, and discovers that she's pregnant. And he knows it's not his because, well, they have not consummated the relationship yet at this point. She tells him that she's a virgin, and yet she's pregnant. Now, according to the law of Moses, this is what you do to women who are not virgins when they get married. The husband, if he can prove that she is not a virgin, then she gets dragged into the town square and everyone gets to stone her to death. It's in the Bible, right alongside of a lot of other stuff. But Joseph, he doesn't take that tactic. He wants to divorce her quietly. He doesn't want to draw attention to this. Good man, Joseph. He has every right. In fact, the law requires him to do so, and yet he doesn't follow the law. He's a rebel. He's a lawbreaker. I like this guy more and more all the time. He doesn't go with what is required of him, but instead does what is merciful instead. He's going to divorce her quietly. But then an angel greets him and says, Mary's not lying. She really is a virgin, and yet she is pregnant, and this child is from the Holy Spirit. And you are to raise him. It's your job, Joseph. Give him the name Jesus. All of this to fulfill the prophecy of God with us. And Joseph agrees. Joseph is just an ordinary person, and yet God has him take on this miraculous, world-changing task. I think it's interesting that later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus will go through this list of sayings, you've heard it said, X, Y, Z, but I say unto you, and he reinterprets the law. You wonder, where did he learn that? Well, look at Joseph reinterpreting the law. The law says, you're supposed to stone Mary. But instead, he's merciful. And you have to believe that he teaches Jesus to be merciful. He raises him as his own son. In fact, all of the prophecies point to Jesus as son of David. Why? Because Joseph is a son of David. Joseph is just an ordinary person. There's nothing special about him. We're told that he's a carpenter in some other gospel traditions. He's not a ruler, not royalty, not a king, not a rabbi, not anyone particularly holy or important. Just an ordinary person asked by God to do something fairly extraordinary, which causes me to wonder who among us, ordinary people that we are, is called to do something extraordinary here on this fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. The answer to that, I firmly believe, is everyone. All of us, as followers of this God with us, man who saves, Jesus, each one of us given an extraordinary task, an extraordinary role to play in this grand story of the salvation of the world. Being Christ bearers, bearing the name of Christ to the world until the day when Christ returns. This is the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. This has been a season of preparation for this, not just to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but to prepare ourselves and to prepare our world for that glorious day when he comes again, bringing about the new heaven and the new earth that was promised in the prophets, in the book of Revelation. Tomorrow we'll celebrate Christmas Eve. We're going to hear a different account of the birth of Jesus. Today we've gotten it through the lens of Joseph. Tomorrow we'll hear through the eyes of Mary, and we'll get a different wrinkle, a different fold of this story, this grand and wondrous story. But until we do that, for the next 28 hours or so, let's sit with this particular story of this particular man with the courage to say yes to God, to follow the path of obedience, an ordinary man with an extraordinary calling. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we do thank you for the calling that you place on our lives and for the witness of Joseph, called to be father to the Most High. We pray, Lord, for courage to follow in that pathway, to bear the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to all the world. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended.